We're continuing in our series this morning, Why Me, Why Them? Where, as a church, we're asking ourselves the question, why does God want me? Why has God chosen me in my life, in my sin, for Him, to be in a relationship with Him? And then why them? Why has God asked us to go out into the world around us, to go to the communities, the friends, our workplaces, and reach them for His glory? So if you have your Bibles this morning, or if you want to take one of the Bibles from under the seat back in front of you, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians this morning, chapter 5, verses 16 through 21. But once again, just congratulations, AWC, for this journey that you guys have gone on and that we've all been a part of in various ways. And moving forward, really just asking God, how do we continue our mission to love God, love people, reach the world? And this morning we're going to talk about being ambassadors. We're called to be ambassadors of Christ. And we're going to ask ourselves this as we dive in this morning. So starting in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16, it says, "So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, and through God, we're making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." So that is where we are today. And I forgot to mention, but there's a couple that I have never met before. So I'm Pastor Ian. It's great to see you. Faces that I haven't seen in a while, so it's great to see you back. So our identity is in Christ. This first point this morning is that our identity is in Christ. So according to verse 16, as believers, our perspective and understanding of people should be different. It should not reflect what the world has shown us. It shouldn't reflect our past life. It shouldn't reflect any negativity. We shouldn't be judging others based on external appearances, but instead, we should see them as potential brothers and sisters in Christ. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And it's just that reminder that when we accept Christ into our hearts, we are new through Christ. We may look the same physically, but we are made new through Christ. And that way of our life should reflect that. It should reflect Jesus Christ. When you meet someone and you have a relationship, people know, right? When you meet a significant other, or you find someone that you start dating, people usually catch on to that in one of two ways, at least. They're like, "Man, you look really happy." Or, "Hey, that's not the right one." But most of the time, people notice it, right? You act different. You feel different. Your mannerisms may be different because of that relationship. So why would it be different for us if we start this relationship with Jesus Christ, that we don't act different. We have this moment where we ask God into our hearts. We say, Lord, forgive me for my sins and be with me. From that moment forward, we should show that. We should be that in the world. So as we think about this next 40 years, our church has done such a great job over the plus, like, over 40 years, longer than I've been alive. And that's the last time I'm going to say it. I'm just joking around. I'm not going to make it to lunch. But you've done such a great job. Wherever you were, whether it was in Concord, in the school, here, showing the love of Christ. While things have changed, while trajectories have changed, while people have come and gone, the consistent theme, the consistent thing in Antioch Wesleyan Church has been people who love Christ, who want to carry out the mission to love God, love people, reach the world. And that verbiage might have been different, but that is essentially the same across the board when you go to churches. They say it a little bit different. But as Christians, we strive to love the Lord, our Father, in our life. And because of that, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, when we love someone so much, we want to please them, we want to benefit them, and we want, and we should want to please Jesus Christ in our life and say, what Jesus Christ stood for, I now stand for. And Jesus Christ came to seek and save the lost. So we, too, should want to do that. In our lives, we should want to carry that legacy. And this church is filled with love, with smiles, with people who really want to do that. And I'm excited to see how God's going to use that moving forward. But imagine if we saw others and we continued to look at others in the world around us through the lens of Christ. Because Christ hasn't changed. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the world has changed, hasn't it? In the last 20 years, last 5 years, even this post-COVID era, the last 20 years, 30 years, let's keep going back. It has changed drastically. And the way that the world has heard of Christ has been different. We now have social media. We have all these news reels and different ways that people are gathering information. And unfortunately, a lot of this information is wrong. A lot of this information is fabricated or blown out of proportion in order to get likes or views or something. And what is the first thing somebody does if they're like, I need information on something? What do? Google. Probably one of the worst things we can do is go to Google. Has a lot of good information, but can completely steer us down the wrong path. So, because that is a normal situation, when people are like, why does Jesus love me, Google? It's funny now, right? But how many people like really search on the internet to ask how God loves them? Because the world around them is not showing God's love. The church in their communities are not showing the love of Christ. They aren't seeing a difference between the Christian inside the building and the person outside on the street. So they're searching for answers and they're going to Google when all the answers are right here. And we share this. So for us, we are called to live our identity in Christ. We are called to be like Christ. So while I may not look the same, definitely don't look the same as I did 20 years ago. Had a lot more hair. And just life happens. But when I accepted Christ, my life changed. We're all sinners. We all fall short of the glory of God. That doesn't change, but Christ in us, filling that void, is what carries us through. And it's taken many, it's taken many years to learn this. I've been a Christian. How long? 25 years? I've known God for longer, but I didn't accept Christ into my heart. But for 25 years, it wasn't, boom, Christian, now, good life. It's been a progression. I've had to learn. I've had to seek God in my life. Many months ago, I remember telling you guys that one of the main reasons, one of the things that led me to becoming a pastor is because I wanted to become a better Christian. I wanted to learn who God was. So why not find a career that I study the Bible? Because I was already doing it. I was like, this is kind of cool. I can do this. And God called me to it and put that desire in my heart. And I now get to do that. But as Christians, we should want to do that. We should want to grow closer to Christ. Because when you're in that relationship, you want to know that person, right? You meet someone, they look cool, you're like, wow, they're really pretty. What's your name? And then you start asking those questions, you know, those late night phone calls that you ask every question under the book. What's your favorite color? What's your favorite band? Oh, I like that too. And in the back of your head, you're like, I have no idea who that band is, but I'm going to go online and find out. So then the next time I meet them, be like, do you remember that song that they played at this gig? You've never heard it before, but you do these things because you want to impress the person you're with. So why is it any different with Christ and our identity in Christ? When we accept Christ and we ask him into our heart and we say, Lord, what's your name? What's your favorite color? What do you like to do on the weekends? What do you do for fun? What are your hobbies? And we learn about Christ, we should want to learn. It's not a relationship that, okay, I've accepted Christ, I'm going to just do my own thing now. That's not a relationship. That's an acquaintance. So we should want our identity to be through Christ, and we should strive to allow people to see Christ through us and not be quick to judge or dismiss others in the world around us because God loves them too. Because Jesus came to seek and save the lost. So his mission becomes our mission when his life becomes our life because we accept him and our identity becomes his. And secondly, we are reconciled through Christ. So Paul reminds us in verse 18 of the beautiful truth through Christ that we have been reconciled to God. Our sins have been forgiven. The relationship between God and us has been restored. And then in verse 19, Paul goes on to say that this message of reconciliation, there we go, that's the word, has been entrusted to us. It has been given to us to carry out. And to reconcile is really just the act of two people or groups becoming friendly again, to know each other, to get to know each other. So we're reconciled through Christ. Christ brought us this connection. Christ brought us back into a relationship with God, if we choose so. All the fluff, all the rules and regulations that were brought up and built up, Jesus came, fulfilled it all, died for our sins, and said, here you go, here's a free gift. All you have to do is accept it. All you have to do is receive it. And that's what Christ has done for us. So we are reconciled through Christ. So think about the joy and the relief that we experience when we reconcile a relationship with someone. Or we choose to say, let bygones be bygones. People have spent a lifetime. You hear it all the time. You see it in movies. That people spend a lifetime or decades or whatever it may be separating themselves from a loved one, a friend, just because of a difference, just because of a political party, just because of a way of living. And sometimes it's time to just say, let's just move on. Let's quit tit for tatting each other. Let's quit poking each other just to get the next up. Let's just stop. Because Christ didn't put those parameters. We're reconciled through Christ because He loved us. He loves us so much that He sent His one and only Son to die for us. And it wasn't for just a select few people. It was for us all. But there's so many people out there that don't know that. There's so many people out in the world that don't hear the gospel, that don't know the message of Christ, that don't know that there is a Lord and Savior waiting for them. And that's what we are called to do as Christians, to share the light of Christ with the world around us. So as ambassadors of Christ, we need to share this message of reconciliation with the world. But that leads us to our last point this morning, our representation of Christ. So we have our identity through Christ, through our relationship with Him. We're reconciled through Christ. But now, what is our representation of Him to others? The old is gone. The new has come. When we're out in the world, when you're out in the community, do you act any different than the world around you? Do you speak any different? Do you react to situations any different? And I know from personal experience, we're sinners. We're not perfect. We make mistakes. I act in the flesh a lot more than I would like to. But I would like to wake up tomorrow and be better than I was today. I would like to wake up tomorrow and be closer to God than I was today. Because I want to represent God better tomorrow than I did today. Every day. And that's the difference. That we continue moving forward. So in verse 20, Paul tells us that we're ambassadors for Christ, that we are representatives of Christ in this world. And people should see Jesus in us and through us and in our actions. And in verse 21, we're reminded that Jesus, who knew no sin, became sin for us, so we might become righteous to God. Righteousness of God. He took that burden from us, so we are free to be righteous in the presence of God through Christ. It is through Christ that we are saved. But if you have accepted Christ into your heart, are you representing Him to the best of your ability? Are you representing who Jesus was when He walked this earth to the best of your abilities? It sounds like it might sound funny, but when I walk around, I don't see a bunch of little Jesuses running around. I see the world, right? But as Christians, we should strive to be that difference. We should strive for people to go, oh, there's another Christian. Oh, there's another believer who loves God. Why? Because you can tell. And we should be able to make that difference, because Jesus didn't have to say his name when he walked around, did he? People knew when he came. People followed him because of what he was doing, and they wanted to be part of it. So if we're not representing that in our own life, how can we ask others to come into a relationship with God when they're not seeing any difference of God in our life? When they say, you don't act different than me. I just saw you at the bar last Friday, singing karaoke with me, doing whatever you do. I didn't see you any different. Why do I need to do this extra thing of accepting Christ into my life if it looks no different than what I'm doing now? So if we don't represent Christ effectively in our life, people are not going to see the benefit of coming to Christ in theirs. So imagine, and maybe some of you have been in this situation, that you are a representative in this prestigious business, or you have been asked by your job to go and go to this function, go to this event, and hey, you are representing this law firm. Thinking of big things, I don't know. This New York City law firm, you're representing us. Are you going to go in shorts and sandals? Probably not. Probably going to go in a suit and tie. And if you don't have one, you're probably going to buy one. Look the part. You're going to walk in and you're going to be on your best behavior because my boss isn't here. The people that I know who are running this business aren't here, and I'm representing them. I'm going to be as nice as I can. I'm going to open the doors for them. I'm going to let that person go in front of me and eat first. I'm going to pull out the chair for this person. I'm going to do everything I can to represent this business, right? You think about that. It clicks. But now put Jesus in there. You're representative of the kingdom of God. Yet, it doesn't look any different. But when Jesus was here, the world knew of one man walking. So how are we not walking around in our communities as a church, as a body of believers, and people not saying, there they go, Antioch Wesleyan Church, walking around praying. There they go, Cornerstone Christian Church. There they go, what is it, King's Chapel or up the road? Whoever they are they being representatives of Christ? So we need to live our life in a way that represents the Lord because of what he's done for us, because of who he is. So this last 40 years, we've done some amazing things. You've brought people to the Lord. There's been baptisms. You've been in the community. You've reached people. There's people in this church because of the efforts that you have made for the community around you. How are we going to carry that into the next 40? How are we going to pray? What are we going to do? How are we going to talk? How are we going to act? How are we going to represent God in our life to the world around us? How are we going to push ourselves, our fellow believers, to grow more? As a body of believers, how are we going to grow in Christ? To our community, how are we going to help them see the restorative power of Jesus Christ in their life through us? So instead of being someone who is a Christian or claims to be a Christian that acts no different than the world around them and the non-Christians or people who don't know Christ yet in their life and not acting any different, how are we going to be different? How are we going to represent the Lord differently in the next 40 years? We need to be the difference in the world around us. We need to be the difference and show Jesus Christ to the community, to our workplace, to our friends and family every day. So we've been given this privilege and responsibility of representing Jesus Christ to the world. Our identity, our reconciliation, and representation of Christ should be evident in our life. Because when we say, why me? Because God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son. Jesus came to seek and save the lost. Why me? Because we're loved. And we have a Lord and Savior who wants a relationship with us. And why them? Why the community around us? Because Jesus wants that relationship with them too. But we represent Christ in our life to the community out there. And we need to do that. So I pray that we take this seriously. Because the world is changing every day around us. It's getting harder. There's a decline a lot of places in the world of Christianity, in churches. And it's because the world is getting answers from other places. Everyone is seeking something in their life. The world is asking questions. And if they don't get the answer from Christ and the body of believers, they will get their answer from somewhere else. And they will start believing in what they hear. So we need to speak up and share Christ in their life. And this morning, we're going to take communion together. We're going to remember what Christ did in our life. We're going to take this time. But before we do that, I want to invite those of you, or if there's anyone listening online or sitting here this morning, if you don't have Christ in your heart, I want to invite you into that relationship. Maybe you've been in that relationship, but you're not representing the Lord. I want to invite you also into rededicating your life to Him. And from this point forward, let's represent the Lord in our life. So if that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. I would like to ask you to trust the Lord in your life. I would like to ask you to accept the Lord into your heart. And I would pray that we would leave this place with our identity in Him and not in us. And the world would see that through us. So before we take communion, I would like to pray. I'm going to invite the worship team up at this point. And just take this few minutes to pray before we hand out the elements. And if you are going to be handing out the elements this morning, we can do that as well. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide us, that you would be with us, and we thank you for who you are. Thank you for choosing us to be ambassadors for your Son, Jesus. I pray that you would help us to see others through his eyes, to share the message of reconciliation with boldness and accurately represent Him to the world, that our lives would bring glory to your name. I pray that if there's those that haven't accepted you, Lord, haven't accepted you into their heart, or would like to rededicate their life to you, I pray that they would follow me this morning in prayer by saying, Lord Jesus, I confess my sins to you and ask for forgiveness. Please come into my heart and be my Lord and Savior. Take complete control of my life and help me to walk in your footsteps daily by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your guidance in my life from today and this day forward. In your name we pray. Amen.